turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5. I appreciate that first song we sang this morning in our congregational time. This, who is on the Lord's side? And I'd say there's many times in our lives, in our society, in our culture, throughout history, we can look at instances in history and just say, hey, these people were not on God's side. And there are times that we can look at some instances in history and, hey, maybe they were on God's side. But this morning, I'm going to preach about a certain topic, and I've titled this message, Whose Side Is Who On? I say that for this reason. Sometimes we want God to be on our side. And when we want God to be on our side, we got it backwards. In Joshua chapter 5, this is one of my favorite pictures in Scripture, in this passage of Scripture. We're going to read 13, 15. So if you can stand for the reading of the Word of God, you're going to read a few verses and have a word of prayer, but this text, this is to me, this is one of the most exciting texts I read because it has an instance where you have literally a pre-incarnate Christ makes an appearance to God's people. Joshua gets to see this and experience God do something great in his life, but a question is asked. And we need to focus this morning what this passage is presenting with us. And then we need to ask ourselves the question, whose side am I on? So Joshua chapter 5, look at verse number 13. The word of God says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with the sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we do thank you for the word of God and for its truth. And Lord, in our society, in our day and age, when the world views around us makes truth just relative to whatever it is around, Lord, we know your word is true. You are true. And we still have it. And it is important for us to consider your truth so that we might obey your truth. But we ask that you bless the word that we look at this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You all may be seated. This, like I say, this is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And I like the picture it presents because, hey, the children of Israel, they crossed Jordan. And they are seeing the cities that they are needing to take. And they understand if they went back 40 years when the children of Israel had gotten to this point before and they looked into the land and they sent the spies. And the spies said, we are not able to overcome this because they are mightier than we are. The walled cities are too great. The giants are too great. The armies are too great. We've lost and we've not even set foot into the promised land. God's not able. We cannot overcome. Let's just turn around and go die in the wilderness. So God says, okay, you get what you want. You can spend the next 40 years dying because of your disobedience to me, not willing to obey my word and go in and take that which I have promised you. So that happened. So now they finally get here and they're in this land and they see the great city of Jericho and they can look beyond and they can see the city of Ai and they can see the lands and the places around where there are armies, and they have probably at this point have seen the iron chariots and they know there is something going on here. There is going to be a fight. If we are going to possess this land, it is going to take God to do it. So Joshua, he's the head honcho of Israel. He is the man. El hombre. He's it. For those of you that means the man, so I just don't want there to be any confusion. He's in charge. And he's ready to take God's people and the armies of Israel to take the land. And as he looks, he's over against Jordan. He sees a man with his sword drawn. So he starts getting a little, oh, I better take care of this. I see a problem. I'm a man. I'm going to take care of a problem. He goes up and says, are you one of us or are you one of them? Right. No, I'm not. What? You know, sometimes we think God's on our side. Sometimes we think that we need God to be on our side. Now, Joshua didn't know who this man was. So I'm not trying to insert a philosophical idea into Joshua's brain because I don't know what he was thinking. But I do know he was concerned. Are you the enemy or are you one of ours? Because I've never seen you before. You're not around here. That's an interesting sword. I would know if I've seen that sword before. I mean, I'm a guy. I would know. I mean, because when somebody walks in with a gun, I know whether or not I've seen that. I don't know if I've seen you before, but I definitely haven't seen that sidearm. So, and the response was, nay, but as your boss, I'm here. Y'all see that? I've never seen it, but y'all see that show called Undercover Boss? I like the idea. It seems so fun. Because someday I just want to buy a company so I could go in the lowest levels and just see what they do and then just tell, by the way, you're fired. I just, you know, that's on my never-to-do bucket list. We have to be real about our bucket list. Sometimes have things we will accomplish, have things we won't. Don't get them mixed up, but it's okay to dream about it as long as you don't take too much time. But here Joshua, he's faced with this man who is a man of war, who looks quite able and capable of controlling a situation. And there is this concern, are you with us or are you against us? And the response literally means, Joshua, are you on my side? Joshua understands this and he says, whoa, what will my Lord have his servant do? Now catch that. He went as the general and was told, no, I am captain over the host of the Lord. This military, this army, this nation is mine. Oh, yes, sir. What does my Lord want me, thy servant, to do? And you notice in the next couple verses, the Lord gives him instruction. He says, take your shoes off, for the ground wherein thou standest is holy. And you know what Joshua did? He did it. Okay, so what is this picturing for us? It's picturing this. You on my side or you on their side? No, are you on my side? Wow. Yeah. Now, follow my instruction. That's right. Yeah. That's what happened here. Yeah. So let's put this into our perspective, shall we? Whose side is who on? I asked that question a moment ago. Whose side is who on? I ask that question because so often in our lives, we compartmentalize things and we establish our life as an entity of its own. And we have our troubles and trials and we have our desires, we have our wants. We have everything that we are wanting to do, hoping to do, everything that we are involved in, and it becomes, this is what I am doing. Now I hope God blesses me in it. Now, you get where I'm going with this? Because we live our life as if this is what I am doing. And we're not considering the fact that are we actually following God? We can create, we know this. Well, are you his friend? Are you her friend? Are you his friend? Are you whose friend are you? Like, are you on this side of the line? Are you on that side of the line? Are you on this side of the auditorium? Because, you know, those people on that side of the auditorium. We do that all the time. Do we not do that with God? This is my life, God. Are you involving yourself in it? Are you blessing me today? Now, don't get me wrong. I think we should be asking God, Lord, I got this going on in my life, and could you just have your hand in it? We should be talking to God and asking him and beseeching him and begging him for him to have his hand in our life. But be it from the perspective as God, you're in control. Help me to follow you. See your will that it might be accomplished in my life. Not, this is my life. Are you giving me a hand, God? I'm struggling over here, God. Why aren't you helping? See, this is what our problem is. Our problem often is that we think God should be on our side. We think God should be on our side. We think God should be involved in what I am doing. Because it's me doing it. And last I asked myself, I'm pretty important. If you don't believe me, just ask me. I'll tell you how important I am. And that becomes our problem. And we expect God to place the amount of importance in our things as we place. Now, don't get me wrong. We have some concerns. And I'm not trying to belittle anything that may be going on in anybody's life. But last time I checked, God is greater. And we often take our perspective and impose it on our whole idea of who God is and what God wants. And we try to put God in our box and say, this is my life. This is my world. I want to happen in my life what I want to happen. And you better make it work, God, because if I don't get that new car that I've been praying for and sacrificing for I don't know how many years now. Whose side is who on? Are you on God's side or are you on your side? Joshua is confronted with this. But we see in Joshua's life a very quick promptness to bow himself before God, listen to the instruction that was given, and obey. So ultimately, that's what we need to do. But we need to understand this. About our problem is that we want God to be on our side. We want him to be on our side. We think that he needs to be on our side. We think that because, well, sometimes that's the perspective we get when we get to not so focused on him and more focused on us. How does that happen? Well, that happens if I spend less time with him and more time with me. Wait, how can you do that? Well, just ask any teenage boy. Xbox. Too much time with... No hard feelings, it's okay. Hey, we get too carried off on the things of this world. It was a number of years ago, I had to say, okay, God, no football on Sunday. Hey, for me, that was a little sacrifice because I enjoyed it. But I noticed two things would happen. Either one, I was so wrapped up in it and excited that I wasn't paying attention to anything else. Or my team lost and I was in such a sour attitude that I didn't hear from God anyway. So, for me, God deals with each of us individually. So I'm not saying you all have to think this way. But for me, it was football. Okay, maybe after church, maybe after it's done, I will look at the scores. Maybe. But no. Why? Because I was too focused on my things. And when we focus on my things, who are we not focusing on? We're not focusing on him. And if we are not focusing on him, I hate to tell you this, but if our focus is not on him, we're not on his side. You know how to tell whose side you're on? You could tell that by whose focus you're on. Whose side are we on? See, our problem is we want God to be on our side, but the problem with that, it removes us from the possibility of being on God's side because we are focused on my side. The consequence of this, that's the problem. All problems come with a consequence. The consequence of that problem is a very sad one because when we have a side and we want God to fulfill our desires and we are not focused on him and we're focused on us and that does not come to pass, what we've done is we've put expectations on God. You, God, are going to fulfill this need in my life. You're going to accomplish this in my life. I want to see this happen. And when God doesn't do that, he's the bad guy. And that's how we start treating him. I thought you were on my side. God, you really weren't going to do this in my life? Now, we are getting to something that I believe is important. But I need you to follow along. Because this is something many of us deal with. We place expectations on God that we want to happen in our life. And when God doesn't meet those expectations, we act like he let us down. And then many of us quit church because, well, it's a waste of time. Many a times we might still be at church, but we'll quit reading the Word of God and spending time with God because, well, it doesn't work. Well, why didn't it work? Well, maybe it worked. Maybe it didn't work because your focus is wrong and you were having an inward focus as far as, well, I want what I want accomplished to accomplish. And the means of doing that is by getting on God's good side so he'll bless me and favor me and then I'll get what I want. And when that doesn't happen, we get a little upset. I wonder, why did God not meet my expectations? Why isn't God on my side? That's the consequence of our problem. And I'm going to say this. As people, regardless of what we intend to or not, our default mode is all about me. Your default mode is just about you. And that's just the way, that's our flesh. That's our flesh. The Bible talks about how the Spirit warreth against the flesh. If you're saved, the Spirit of God wants you to focus on him, but your flesh wants you to focus on you. My flesh wants me to focus on me. My flesh wants me to focus on, well, wow, I could make this much money, and I could get that, and I could buy that, and I can do that, and I'm a dreamer. I will dream about tons of things. See, a truck is worth, no, I can dream about way too much. But if you leave me to myself, I will just fill the time thinking about absolutely nothing and then waste my time and waste my money. But if I allow the Spirit of God to direct me, did you know he gives me purpose? Direction? My problem is that I want God to be on my side. I want him to fulfill my needs. I want him to care for what I want him to care about. That's just what I want him to do. But the problem with that is God's concerns are not the same as my concerns. Do you realize that? God's concerns are often different. They're often different. Does that mean God doesn't care about me? Well, no, God does care about you. Cares greatly about you. The solution to our problem is that we don't think God needs to be on our side and that we don't want God to meet our expectations, but the solution is to realize that he is in control and that we better identify his position and we need to align ourselves to his position. That's the solution. Hey, did you know, how about this? Has anybody ever been to, broken an arm or had it? Okay, imagine this. You're in a serious accident and you are damaged badly. And you're in the hospital and the surgeon comes up and he tries to get all of your information so he can call your bank and make sure that you have enough to take care of your rent. Now, that would be strange for a doctor, isn't it? That would be weird. Why are you concerned about that? I want you to fix me. But see, with God, who knows what our problem is, we say, God, I want you to take care of that in my life. And God says, no, son, I don't need you to care about that because you are missing an arm over there. I don't need you to worry about your splinter over there. But sometimes we only notice the little splinters in life. And they're saying, there are serious issues that we have in life. And I understand that. And I also understand that I don't understand that as much as many of you. But I do know this. God knows what we need. And God knows what He wants to do. God knows each and every one of us. God's in control. He knows what needs to happen. And sometimes we just need to get to the point where we realize, oh, you are the captain of the host of the Lord. You are the one that's in control. You're the one that's in charge of everything. Okay, what do you want me to do now?
Right.
You see, we get it backwards. And we think, I'm in charge of my life. And I just need God to bless me in my little pocket over here. But what we miss is that God has something else that He's planning. And we need to identify, okay, you're in control. I need to make sure I'm on your side. Because your side is the only side that's going to come out. You see, Joshua was concerned about something. If we were to flip over forward a few pages, we would get to this point in Israel's life when they overcome Jericho. God made the walls fall down flat. It was an amazing act of God that they saw God's in control. God's in charge. God's going to get it done. And then the next day, it's like, okay, now let's go take care of Ai. We saw what God did there. That was awesome. But let's go see what we can do without Him because we're awesome, aren't we? And so they went to take out Ai. Of course, they didn't know that there was sin in the camp. They didn't know that God's blessing on them was determined by their purity before Him. Oh, how about that for a Christian today? God's blessing in our life might very well be based on the pureness that we have before Him. No, I don't want to hear that today. Can you just come over and give me a pat on the back and tell me I'm a good Christian? Does anybody need a pat on the back? No, that's what we want. That's what we want when we're on our side. And Joshua and the men, they sent, well, let's just send a few men over there because we are able to overcome it. We don't need to ask God about it. We don't need to make sure we're on God's side concerning it. That's another problem we have in our lives. That there are issues and things arise in our lives and we identify it and we see, I can do this about it, but we don't think and stop to consider, what does God want to do about it? God had a plan for Ai. God had a plan. He had a purpose. He had it all thought out. He knew exactly what was going to happen. But they forgot to make sure that they were on God's side about it. Sometimes we just need to make sure. Sometimes we just need to make sure we're following the leader. Now, kids still like playing that game. Maybe we should practice it sometimes so we just know what it's like to follow a leader. Because in our lives, we sometimes forget how to follow. But in following the leader, you have a leader. And what does the leader do? He leads. And when the leader is leading, what do the followers do? They follow. They follow. You see, they took out Jericho. By God's grace, God's hand, God's mighty work, they took out Jericho. God took out Jericho.
Right.
And then they, well, this is working pretty good. I like how this works out for us. Okay, God, when we get back from Ai, we'll let you know how it goes. They stop following.
Wow.
You can't be on your leader's side if you're not following your leader. And that's what these people are right now. I mean, if we were to look at a few chapters here, ahead of where we are in chapter 5 here in Joshua's life. See, here's the thing. We need to identify God has a side. Did you know that? Yes, it's a simple thing to say. God has a side. Are you on that side? Now, this is 2022 still? Okay. Things work differently now. It's not so black and white. You know, there's all these gray areas. I mean, you can't say this anymore, and you can't do that anymore, and if you act like that, you might offend these people. So, you know, it's best to just kind of crinkle up over here in the corner and not do anything. But God still has a side. God is still leading. God's word is still true. The Bible is still truth. And God is still captain of the host of the Lord. He's still in charge. He's still in control. And do you see in our text here what God is not doing? Where was he when he presented himself as who he was? He was in the presence of his people. He told his people, I'm captain of the host of the Lord. He gave them instruction. He gave them truth. He didn't go to AI and do that. What are you saying? God does not go to the world and tell them his truth. God tells us his truth. And he simply wants something. Us to say, yes, God, I'm on your side. We want the world to get on God's side. We want the world to say, okay, Christianity is great. Christianity is awesome. God's alive. Let's just follow God. Let's serve. Hey, that would be great. Ultimately, that's God's desire. The Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We understand that is God's desire, and he wants everybody to recognize him for who he is and to repent of their sin, fall before him and say, I'm sorry for my sin. I know I'm wrong. I know I'm a sinner. Will you forgive me? That's what God wants us, everybody to do. But we know that's not going to happen. Sadly, because the Bible says, wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Narrow is the path that leads to life everlasting. And few there be that find it. Few. But as Christians, in God's economy, this is what we tend to do. We tend to want God to control the functions of society. That's what we want God to do. But God didn't go to AI. God didn't go to the cities of the plain. He went to his people and he gave them truth. Yea, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Now take your shoes off, for the place where thou standest is holy. You follow me. You present yourselves to me. You be on my side. And watch me work a work. So question for us this morning. Whose side is who on? Some of us want to be on our side. Some of us want to be on so-and-so's side. Somebody want to be on this preacher's side. Listen. There's really only one side that matters. That's God's side. There's really only one side that's going to win. And that's God's side. Now, very quickly, as we move on, we need to understand. This is going to lead with what our concerns are about. Now, I think this is important to say because, yeah, people have concerns. And I want to make sure that it doesn't sound like I am at all saying that, yeah, you might have concerns in life. Maybe you have health problems. But God's not. And I'm not saying God's not concerned about that. But what I am saying is there are things that God is concerned with, and we need to make sure that we are concerned with the things that God is concerned with. chiefly, let's go look over at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. You know, if we want to know what God is concerned with, we need to just dive into the mind of Christ and see, hey, what is it that Christ is concerned with? And in Matthew chapter 9, it gives us one of the greatest pictures of what Christ is concerned with. And we see two aspects of this. And one of them we need to understand from the perspective of the Christian. We need to understand that we need to be concerned with what Christ is concerned with. But there's also this other aspect that is also there. Matthew chapter 9, if we look at verse number 35 and verse 36, we can see, and Jesus, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, and Jesus went out about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Christ observed the multitudes and he saw that these are people that are scattered with no shepherd. They need a shepherd, and Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. Amen. You know, if we want to be in God's side, we've got to establish what is it that God is concerned about. Yeah. We're switching gears here. We need to make sure we are concerned with the same things that God is concerned with, because I guarantee you, God really does not care about who wins the game today. Any of them. A few years back, this is my favorite football story to tell. A few years back, I think the Seahawks and somebody was playing, and Russell Wilson made the comment of God caring about we were going to win today and all that sort of thing. And then the Green Bay Packer quarterback piped up in the conversation, God doesn't care about football. Shush. It's like, God doesn't care who wins. He cares about other things. That's kind of dumb to bring up, but that's such a point. God does not care about what is going on in this world. He cares about what's going on in the lives of the people that Jesus Christ died for. That's what God cares about. He cares about the lost sinner that is inches away from passing into the lake of fire for all eternity. That's what God cares about. God cares about the Christian who is wondering, how should I, how can I, how do I devote myself and my life to the Savior who died for me? That's what God cares about. God cares about the decisions that we make to put Him first in our lives and say, God, you're concerned about that? I'll be on your side. I will be concerned about that too. You're concerned about that soul, I will be concerned about that soul. You are moved with compassion, I will, like in Jude, be moved with compassion, saving others, pulling them out of the fire, making a difference. Why? Because it's what God cares about. You see, if I care about what I care about, you know what difference I make? Oh, I make a difference. I make a very real difference. But when I'm caring about what I think about, the difference that I make is not the right difference. What does that mean? Well, if I'm not focusing on God, I'm going to make an impact in somebody's life by my testimony. But if I'm not focusing on God and caring for the things of God, by my attitudes and my actions, I am going to live in the flesh, and the difference I make in people's lives will be the dragging them from God instead of pushing them toward God. Listen, it's important. Some of us think this. I know God has a side, and I don't necessarily have to be on His side. I just have to make sure I'm not on the world's side. Listen, if you are not for Him, you, sir, you, ma'am, are against Him. Whose side you on? How do I tell whose side I'm on? By what you're concerned about. Are you concerned about the things that God is concerned about? Are you concerned about the souls of men? Are you concerned about the things that Christ, that God cares about? Who, by the way, gave His life? Christ gave His life. And one of the reasons for giving His life was for this institution that we call the church. Did you know God cares about church? If we want to be on his side, we must be concerned with the things that God cares about. That means we must have the compassion for the souls of men. That means we must also have a desire for the church of God. Because if we're not concerned with the same things that God's concerned with, what is that saying about our life? We need to be concerned about his things. He was concerned about the souls of men. He's concerned about the eternity that you and I will live in. God is concerned about you. Quickly, what are we concerned about? Well, if you're like me, maybe I'm concerned about... Well, actually, I don't care about that anymore. Some of us are concerned about, I don't know what my next paycheck is going to look like. Is my next paycheck going to be... Is it going to match the bills I've stacked? Sometimes that's what we're concerned with. I used to be concerned about that, but really? I'm not concerned with that anymore because I've come to this conclusion in my life. I don't work for money. I don't work to work. I work to obey God. And if I work out of faithfulness to obey God, he is going to provide and supply my need. So I don't work for money. I work out of obedience. And since I've done that, life's been better. Still mean I still have to pay bills. I still have to be diligent. I still have to make sure I'm not done with my money. I don't play paintball anymore. I need to be concerned about him, not about my affairs. We can be concerned about our relationships. We can be so concerned about, I hope so-and-so isn't offended that I said this, or I hope this is working out. I hope we're still friends with that person. You know, any relationship will always work better if you have a good relationship with God. I'll tell you this. If you do not have a good relationship with God, any relationship you have elsewhere won't be good. If you don't have a good relationship, if you're a teenager in here, if you don't have a good relationship with God, you'll have a horrible relationship with your parents. Yeah. You want a good relationship with your parents? You work on your relationship with God. Yeah. Husbands, if you do not have a good relationship with God, you will not have a good relationship with your spouse. And we can say that again. I say that again, and I'll encourage you, go to man camp. Because it's important. But don't be concerned about your relationship with other people if you're not concerned with your relationship with God. Whose side are you on? Many concerns we can have are valid concerns, but those concerns are not God's concerns. Why do you say that? God's not concerned? No, God's not concerned with what he already gave you the answers for. You're concerned about it? Well, he wrote it down 2,000 years ago. He knew you're going to have that question in life. He made sure it was there. He also has a Holy Spirit that is called the Comforter, who is able to guide us in understanding of this word. So if we have concerns about this life and about the affairs of our life and the trouble that we have with those around us and the trouble we have with our finances, I'm going to tell you that most issues in life already have an answer. What do you mean? Well, the Bible tells us in Proverbs that he that dealeth with a slack hand shall become poor. What's that mean? If you don't watch your money and you're not diligent and careful, you're going to lose it all. I mean, it says it. It gives us instruction. All things that pertain unto life, I live a life. Everybody I see is living a life. You're alive. You function in your life. The Bible has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Hey, the answers are there. You know why God's not concerned with the things that you're concerned with? Because he's already given us the answer. You know what God is concerned with? Do you know what God is concerned with? God's concerned with a simple thing. And when our text, when we looked at that passage of scripture in Joshua, God established it, who he was. God established his identity, his positional identity, He established all that. And he gave Joshua a small bit of instruction. You know what God's concerned with? Whether or not you and I follow his instruction. Well, that means what God says should be adhered to? That means what God says should be obeyed? Well, yeah. Yeah. See, God has a side. It's established in truth and righteousness. It's not going to pass away. It's not going to change. And it has a purpose for every individual life, man, woman, boy, or girl, a purpose for each of them. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, the purpose of God's side and truth is that you identify the fact that your sin has alienated you from God, separated you from God, and that because of sin, as Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Because of sin, there is judgment on sin from a holy and righteous God who cannot stand sin. And that's God's side. But I also like the fact that God's side is also, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, I like it when God gives us an out. And the out is that simple thing, obeying the word of God. That's what he wants us to do. If you've never trusted Christ, all he's asking you to do is just recognize your condition and repent before him. If you are saved, God wants you to be on his side. Listen, Christian, we are the worst when it comes to not being on God's side. We're the worst. Because we're supposed to be. And we get wrapped up in the affairs of this life. We get concerned with our own concerns to the expense of him. Whose side are you on? I appreciate in the book of Joshua the question of this ultimately came down to this. Whether it be the gods that our fathers served, the gods in Egypt or across the flood, or the God of heaven, choose you this day whom you will serve. And he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know what Joshua is saying? I'm on God's side. He was telling the people, hey, there's sides. There's God and there's sin. Idolatry, the works of the flesh, the carnality, the immorality of the world, all of that stuff, that's just sin. And Joshua said, you got sin over there, and you've got God over here. Pick a side and choose it. Either one. Don't stand there in the middle acting like, well, whatever I feel like doing today, I think this is okay today, but tomorrow I know I'm going to want to do that, so I'm not going to commit to God because I know I've got problems. Choose. Whose side are you on? We'll have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.